Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Jen Kirkman is all over the place, and we do mean that in a good way. The comedian has a popular Netflix special called I'm Gonna Die Alone. She has one book on the New York Times bestseller list called I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, and another due out next year.
And she continues to do stand-up comedy, which is what brings her to Milwaukee's Turner Hall on Wednesday. WUWM's Rachel Owens and comedy contributor Matt Kemple caught up with Kirkman by phone ahead of her trip to Wisconsin. Kirkman says her love for comedy dates all the way back to her early childhood and Mr. Bill comedy sketches on Saturday Night Live.
I was maybe 4 or 5 in my bedroom, and I would hear my parents and my sister watching it, and I just thought, well, I want to be doing what they're doing, and everyone's laughing. And if they saw me at the top of the stairs, they would let me come downstairs and watch. Did I know that was comedy or what that was? Who knows? And then from there, it was sitcoms. All the greats, like when I was little, they would rerun Taxi, Welcome Back, Kotter, Happy Days. So I watched all of the sitcoms of the 70s. To me, that was what was happening in comedy when I was 6, 7, 8 years old.
So your stand-up career started, what, in the late 90s?
Yes, I think it was 97. I think I just hit my 18-year mark, which is insane.
Well, you have a sketch background. You have work as a voiceover actor, you know, obviously writer, stand-up comedian. Do you have a specific medium that you enjoy more than others? Do you see that it's really more of a combining those different forms of comedy to get what you want?
Yeah, I think it's combining them. The stuff that I actively pursue is book writing and stand-up, so those are my two favorites. And I think they go together pretty well. Sometimes I do feel like just writing and being quiet. But anytime I've done sketch TV or voiceover work, that's just because a friend cast me in something. For me, stand-up is my favorite medium, my main medium. And anything I've ever gotten handed to me has been, oh, I saw your stand-up. I thought you'd be good for this. I wrote you a part.
Your new stand-up special on Netflix, very funny. You started out with a sketch that's also very funny with a toddler. I'm sure that was fun to film. How long did you need to film with a toddler to get that to come out the way that you
I love that you're asking this because that really was my favorite part of the special or those scenes. That scene was fairly quickly. Lance Bangs directed my special and he directed those scenes as well. What was the cool story about that kid is he's not really an actor. He is that woman's son. Filmed in Austin, I wanted to use local actors. This woman, Kelly, had brought in her kid as a sort of prop to, you know, act out the scene better for the camera. And when they sent me the tape, she was the best one. And I was like, I love that kid. And they're like, well, he's not really auditioning. We've got a whole other slew of tapes that have these child actors on them. And I was like, no, I want him because he's acting like a kid because he's not supposed to be there. And I'm being a comedian because I am supposed to be there. And the only one who isn't reading anybody is the mother. She's not reading that her kid is acting like a kid and all of her weird parenting styles don't work. He's not a grown up. And she's not reading that I'm not interested in any of this and that I want her to weep.
Jen.
Oh my God, Amanda, hey. What are you doing?
Hi.
I didn't think you could get in.
Well, the stage manager let us in, but we can't stay.
Right.
Well, he can't because
he's too young. Yeah. It's alcohol is being served and they don't let kids stay. I don't think my act
would
be appropriate.
Actually, if you could talk to him directly. It's not healthy for children's development for adults to pretend like he's not here. So, yeah, just talk to him. Just normal. Alistair, this is Jen.
Hi, Alistair.
She's mommy's friend from...
We went to college together
in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Oh, do you need something to drink?
I want juice.
Oh, there isn't any juice.
Oh, Jen, that's actually not how we answer him.
But there is no juice.
When you say that there is no juice, it makes him feel like there is no juice. So,
because there's not.
But we want him to feel like anything is possible. And Alistair... Darling, the world is full of juice, and you can have as much juice as you want, okay? Maybe Jen can come over afterwards for some juice, a juice party,
Oh, I can't. I leave so early in the morning.
Oh, but we never see you.
I know, but I have a second show after this, and then it's like wrap up, and they load out, and then we...
But we never see you.
I know. I always tell people, like, don't get your hopes up when I come through town, because it's just work. Like, I don't even know where I am right now, because I'm always traveling, you know? So it's just not good hang time. Yeah.
So are you seeing anyone?
No, remember we emailed, I was a couple weeks ago, the guy, the British guy, do you remember? No.
Oh.
I don't want to say
Alistair, say it. Jen is talking about a man who broke her heart.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't...
Oh, you can just say it.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to have sex. You know, I was, like, making love with a lot of people. And I don't feel like I'm saying anything right. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand sometimes why you want to hang out with me so bad when I just, like, keep getting corrected. Like, I'm a grown-up at the comedy club, and, like, this is my world, so I don't know how to, like, adjust it all up for you right now.
Okay, you know what I mean? You know what, honey? It sounds like you are just really stressed out.
I'm not.
And
I wasn't.
I want you to come to our house. I don't care how late it is. Just come and be around.
I have a hotel room. It's like big fluffy pillows. There's room service.
Yeah, stand up. There we go. All right. Well.
Okay. Don't worry about me.
So afterwards, hopefully we'll see you. Juice party.
Juice party. Juice party. Juice party.
That was such a fun part. What a great way to start your special.
He was so cute. He was cracking me up so much that if there was a blooper reel, it would just be me turning around like, spitting water out of my nose laughing because he would do the weirdest things. Like, he just gave the finger at one point. He didn't mean to. Swear to God, none of that was directed. None of his moves. That was just totally organic.
Wow.
It's a natural.
You have a book on the New York Times bestseller list. That is really something to be proud of. How did the attention that you would get from having a book on the New York Times bestseller list, how does that attention differ from your attention you get from people recognizing you from television?
There isn't really that much attention because no one's really paying attention to the list, except maybe my publishing company. I don't really know why, but no one in the general public gives me attention. It's something that I find I have to say. I went back home to visit my family when I was on my book tour a couple years ago, and my dad was bragging to his friend about me. And he said, Jen's on the New York Times bestseller list. And the guy looked at me and said, oh, like he looked really sad, like, I'm sorry. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, so they're only selling your book in New York?
Oh.
And I went, no, forget it. Yeah, so I think like that's mainly the reaction I get with the New York Times thing, so that's fine. But and then getting recognized in public is very different because it's one of those things where the people that like me, they don't need the extra validation of, oh, she was on some list or, you know, the people that like me almost like me like they're my parents, like unconditional, you know, that kind of thing.
That's really fascinating to me because it's such an accomplishment, but what it really is accomplishing in your career is it gives you legitimacy in the other things that you do. You
can,
you know, being a producer and a comedian and, you know, all of this work. Oh, that's pretty good. Oh, and New York Times bestsellerist. Oh, okay. I guess we know who you are now. It's kind of funny how you have such a laundry list of accomplishments, and it seems that the combination of those accomplishments is really what matters, not necessarily the fact that you're a great comedian or a great writer.
Yeah, you kind of have to have a few things you can not brag about, but to throw out there. It's a nice intro when you're on a morning show. Author and comedian Jen Kirkman is here. You know, that sounds kind of nice.
I love the title of your upcoming book, I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. I feel like that's how a lot of people in this business do it. You're sort of running this marathon without a finish line, and nobody tells you that. They're like, oh, someday you'll get what you want. And it's sort of like, well, I don't know if this is what I want. I'm just going to keep doing it. And I love what I do. So it's going to turn into, you know, something bigger than what it is already.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I know you can set a goal and say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. If someone told me that I would find my audience, make the most money I ever made, get in a writer's guild and learn really how to write for someone else, would be on a pop culture show called Chelsea Lately, I would have said, I don't want to do that. I don't care about writing about gossip and writing these short jokes. If someone said to me when I was 25, do you want that opportunity? I would be like, no, because you don't know what's good for you and you don't know what's out there.
Do you have any advice that you would give to comedians or writers that are kind of looking to start establishing their career?
I feel like if they're doing it to start establishing their career, they should just get out and be an agent or something. I feel like I just did it because I had this thing inside me. I wanted to perform. And sure, I wanted to be famous. Things got really hard 10 years later. And I was like, God, I don't think I'm ever going to make a living at this. I have to make a decision. Could I just do stand-up for fun and for free and then work menial jobs? And I went, yeah, I could. I'm going to do that. And that's when everything changed. You have to find your voice. You have to be patient. You have to go to open mics all the time and perform all the time. You just have to do it, and you have to be willing to do it for free and because you love it. But I think when young people ask for advice, what they're really saying is, yeah, how do I skip all the years you struggled and then just go to where you are now? And it's like, you can't. Don't worry about what anyone says. The audience just wants to see who you are. don't even worry about it. The audience will laugh, because even the funniest people don't get laughs sometimes, but they're working on who they are. There were these guys that I came up with in New York, and man, could they write a good joke. And they wrote like 50 jokes a day, and they were joke machines. And they would get on stage, and if people were listening, they would kill. And it's like joke after joke after joke. And I was like, I don't write like that. I'm never going to make it. They're going to make it. And I'd get jealous of them, and it would just torture me. And I wish I could see, Jen, those are your friends who are going to give up stand-up, and they're all going to write on late-night shows. All of these guys that I used to be so jealous of, they never really wanted to perform. They just wanted to be joke writers. And now they write all over. I was always going to be the performer, and they were always going to be the writers. It was destined. You just have to stay in it.
You're on Twitter, and you've used Periscope. Do you see that kind of technology changing what you're doing or how you're able to interact with your fans?
It doesn't really change how I perform stand-up. I just have a theory for the kind of material I do, that more people can know who I am and where I come from. Maybe if they know me, they'll come see me. You know, I'll get people who say, like, wow, you said something about this gay rights issue I care about. I thought your special was funny, but now I love you even more. So it is a way to let people know who you are. And I always tend to think if they like who you are and feel connected to you, they'll probably come out and see you when you're in their town, as opposed to if they just think you're funny. It takes 2 seconds. If you're in line at the coffee shop, you have 5 minutes. You can pull up your phone, scroll. Oh, Donald Trump did this? I'll write a quick joke. It's easy.
I relate to your upcoming book title, I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies, I tell myself, because I have no idea what I'm doing, yet I'm on the radio right now.
Well, you know, it's funny. My editor wanted, at first, when we were working on the pitch together, kind of like, hey, a girl's guide to life, unconventional, over 40, doesn't care if she gets married again, doesn't have kids, travels alone. Kind of an inspirational, like, hey, you guys, like, you could do this too if you wanted. And then as I was writing it, I was like, I don't know if I think this is such a fabulous life. I want to tell people do whatever they want and don't worry about it, but I'm not going to tell them like how to do what I did. So I just changed the title halfway through. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been lying to myself. I go, I don't want to be some poster child for divorced people or people who kind of go it alone in life. I don't want that, because my life is always changing. I think that book will be a fun read, because it really is like, this person is ridiculous and they don't know what they're doing.
I'm so glad to hear you admit that, because every day I wonder if I have any clues.
I'm scared of the people who know what they're doing and get what they want. It's like, how did you do that? Like, you're some kind of witch or wizard. Yeah, I like people who just kind of know what they want to do, but don't really know how to do it, or if they're doing it right and they just do it anyway.
I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today.
This was great. The only thing I would want to announce, the material I'll be doing in Milwaukee will be new. So if people see my Netflix special, they won't be bored. There might be maybe 10 minutes from the special, but the rest of it is new.
We certainly look forward to having you here in Milwaukee, and we hope Milwaukee shows you a great time.
I'm sure they will. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comedian Jen Kirkman is the author of I Can Barely Take Care of Myself and the star of a Netflix special called I'm Gonna Die Alone. She'll perform a show at Milwaukee's Turner Hall Ballroom on Wednesday evening. Jen Kirkman spoke with Rachel Owens and comedy contributor Matt Kemple.